This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What if the Cavaliers are catching this rebuild in midstream? In other words, did they actually start the rebuild last year when they traded for Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood and Larry Nance and they brought in Jetty and Ante Zizic?
Let's ask that question to Chris Fedor, who's standing on the line. Obviously, you know and love him from 92.3 The Fan, but we all know him from the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, too. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How is Iron Man today?
What's up, guys? I'm doing great. How are you?
Iron Man of Twitter is what I like to call him. Okay, so Jeff just laid this out. Could the Cavaliers have already been starting their rebuild last year? And so when you say tear it down, in some ways the Cavaliers had this buffer to know what was going on while LeBron was still here. Are you buying or selling that?
So I wrote a big story for Cleveland.com today just answering the question of why the Cavs are taking this approach that they're taking. Mm-hmm. And in talking to some people around the team, they actually brought that up, guys. They brought up the fact that in February when they traded for Rodney Hood and Larry Nance Jr. and Jordan Clarkson, that was part of the process of making sure they weren't left in the dust when LeBron left, if LeBron did leave. Now, the other part of that was they needed help. They needed a better version of LeBron. They needed him to believe in the team again. And they needed better pieces because there were some internally last year that felt like they were headed for a season where they were going to miss the playoffs because of all the stuff that they were dealing with. So I think it was a combination of the two things. But had they not made the moves that they did in February, I don't know that they would have been able to look at this roster and say, okay, we already have a young core established, or we're starting to establish a young core, and maybe it would be better for us to go into full tank mode. I think they looked at the roster and said, we're too good. Like, we can't go into full tank mode because we're too close to one of the final playoff spots in the Eastern Conference, and a big reason for that is because of the trades that they made in February.
Chris, in seeing you, you know, at practices and shoot-arounds and everything else, you've heard the guys say the same things that I've heard them say. And the thing that kind of keeps going through it to me is if you include Channing Frye in this, you have 11 players on this roster who were basically back from last year. And all they've heard is how lousy they were last year for LeBron.
Yep.
I mean, it was the most underappreciated crew nationally ever. Does that have an impact on these guys? Is that motivation? Is it motivation that works? Is it motivation that lasts?
Sure, I think it's motivation. But in talking to a lot of the guys around the team going into tonight's opener, they recognize that you don't win basketball games because you're more motivated. Like, sure, it's going to help you play harder and you're going to have a chip on your shoulder and all those other cliche things that people talk about. But the bottom line is, the Cavs are going to have to execute better than the Raptors tonight, and they're going to have to execute better than the Minnesota Timberwolves. So are they using it? Yeah. Do they feel disrespected? Of course they do. Everybody has left them for dead, just like everybody left Indiana for dead when Paul George went to the Oklahoma City Thunder and everybody was making fun of Indiana's return in that deal of just getting Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. So, yeah, those things are going to fuel them throughout the course of the season, and maybe on nights when they don't want to give 100% or they're tired because it's at the end of a road trip. I think understanding that they don't have the human eraser in LeBron is going to force them into playing with a different kind of style and a different kind of motivation than they ever had to play with before. I mean, I wrote about this for Cleveland.com today, guys, just talking to Ty Lue and some of the players here at Shootaround in Toronto. You can't ease into the season anymore, right? Like, the playoffs are not guaranteed anymore. Every night is going to be a test, and there is no time to say, well, we'll just get the next one or we'll get the one after that, because who knows? One, two games could prevent them from making the playoffs.
Chris, I keep looking at Ty Lue and wondering what he's going to be like as a head coach without LeBron James. Because really, this is it. This is his first year. And yep. I'm going to be looking at him differently than I did in the past. I think he had to be much more of a manager with LeBron yep. on this team than he did have to be a coach. And so now we get to see the reason why he was the highest paid assistant coach in the league when he gets this opportunity. What are your thoughts on what he's going to be able to do this year? And how will this team become Ty Lue's team?
So I think it's hard to know exactly what they're going to look like. But I will say this, like some coaches are great when it comes to implementing a system in the X's and O's, and other ones are great when it comes to managing personalities, handling egos, getting all of those egos to blend together and turn that into something that works. I think Ty, like you said, Andy, was forced to be the latter. Mm-hmm. And I think he's excited to be more of the former. And I think he's looking forward to proving people wrong as well and maybe possibly getting credit for how the Cavs play. They're going to have to rely on their system. They're going to have to be a better defensive team. Everybody that I talk to inside the organization really believes in Ty strongly, and they think he is the right guy to get them through this, just like they thought he was the right guy to get them to a championship level. So it all has to play itself out. There's no doubt about that, and we're going to find out a lot about the Cavs tonight against the Raptors, who I think are one of the best teams in the NBA with Kawhi Leonard. But there is excitement about what this team can become from an offensive standpoint with more movement, more people involved, not standing and watching, and what this team can be from a defensive standpoint when they try and switch everything and they give a lot more motivation during the regular season. And if they overachieve, if they do, Ty Lue is going to be at the center of it, and he's finally going to, I think, get the kind of recognition that he probably deserves already, but he hasn't been able to get because he's been coaching a LeBron team and wins are supposed to be guaranteed.
Chris Fedor joining us, Cleveland.com, of course, 92.3 The Fan. Is this roster set, Chris, or do you expect it to be a work in progress as the season goes on?
Yeah, I think it's a work in progress, Jeff. I think Ty is wondering, okay, who am I going to ride in a starting lineup? Who am I going to ride in an end-of-game situation? I think the Cavs feel like they think they know those answers, but you're not going to know until you get into the season. They have an open roster spot. They're going to keep their eye on maybe filling that. And they have some guys who probably should get minutes or would get minutes in past years, but there's a logjam at their spot. So maybe they're going to look to move on from those guys eventually. I mean, J.R. Smith is going into the season, and his role on this team is unknown. He was told this offseason, his camp was told this offseason, hey, be prepared because this is not going to be like it's been for the last 3 years when you're the clear starter at shooting guard and you're finishing games for us, and we need the things that you bring to us. J.R. Smith is going into the season, guys, probably outside of the rotation, trying to fight his way back into the rotation. You know, a guy like David Nwaba, who they signed this offseason, they're very excited about, he's probably the 10th or 11th man in this particular rotation. So I think because of that, because they have so many different bodies that they could probably justify playing, I don't know how much George Hill is going to be on this team beyond January. I don't know if Kyle Korver is going to be on the team beyond January. Same thing for J.R. Smith. So I think it is going to be a work in progress, and I think it's going to be a situation where they're continuing to figure out new things about themselves and answering new questions about themselves as the season goes on.
Chris, I have 1 minute. I have two really quick questions for you. One, give me a win total for the Cavs this year as they head into this thing. What do you think?
So I did 37-45 in my prediction for Cleveland.com, and one of the reasons why I picked that win total is because that's what the Miami Heat did in the first year without LeBron, and I think this team is very comparable to Miami in a lot of ways, including the talent that they have on the roster.
All right, second question, just really quick, and I know that sometimes you get stressed out. I'm just curious how your off-season conditioning program is going for kickball.
Well, funny you should ask, Andy, because it is
I can't believe you have an answer. Go ahead, yes.
Yeah, it is still Fall League.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, and the championship is Thursday night, and I'm not going to be there. Because
what?
I'm going to be in Minneapolis. So it's a little bit of a sore subject because I played all Fall League. You know, I was a big part of the team, and I'm not going to be there to see if we can bring home the Fall League kickball championship. And I believe that that game is being played at Lakewood High, actually.
Wow.
On the turf. Yeah.
Woo.
So because I have this new gig with Cleveland.com, I had to make some sacrifices, and I'm sacrificing playing in the championship.
All right, so if they win and you're on the road, will you spray juice boxes all over your hotel room?
I think it's going to be Coke Zero. That's usually my drink of choice. Okay. So, yeah, I'll spray some Coke Zero around my hotel room.
All right, Chris, shout out to your kickball team. Do they have a name or no?
Yeah, we're called Monster Blood, actually.
Oh, Monster Blood. Good.
Well, sure you are.
Of course. All right, shout out to Monster Blood on their big kickball championship.
Think about Monster Blood?
Yes.
I mean, who doesn't think about Monster Blood when you think about me, right?
Sure.
That is true.
Yeah.
All right, well, best of luck on your new gig, and I'm sorry that you had to let your team down, loser, for kickball. Thanks, man.
You got it, guys.
Goodbye, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris Fedor for the Play Dealer.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.